Well, thank you once again for joining us today. It's a day we, at least here in America, you know, we celebrate or we honor fathers. That could be in multiple ways, as Jim mentioned. You know, there's more than just the biological father. There's the spiritual father, and those, as Jim mentioned, those that desire to be fathers. And remember what the Apostle Paul said. He considered Titus and Timothy both his sons in the faith. And so just keep that in mind. So let me start by commending all the fathers here. You're needed desperately in the lives of your family. God ordained you to be the head, not the tail, to be an example in word and deed to your family, to ask for forgiveness when you're not. Never give up, never, because lives are on the line here and eternally speaking. There are few hills in life worth dying on. Your wife, your children, your family is one of the few that are worthy, so fight the good fight of faith. That's my encouragement to the fathers here today. And this morning, we get close to the completion of the book or the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, and the Apostle will mention 29 people, 28, he'll name them, that have helped him build the body of Christ. They are his bodybuilding team, henceforth the name of the sermon. By the way, none that are mentioned are A, capital A, apostles, but Paul mentioned them as helpers, chosen people that bestowed labor, laid down their own necks, and more. Now, maybe it's the coach in me, but I really love to see different people in the church, the members of the body of Christ, find their perfect position and then operate in it. Why? It helps the team. In this case, it helps the body of Jesus Christ. Let us consider the people and the greetings Paul gives to each today as he is ending this letter. We are one body who serve one God for his honor and his glory. And I'll just end with this. I didn't know if I should say this or not, but I will. Yesterday was some protesting called No Kings. Well, I'm going to disagree heavily with that. I have one king. It's not Donald Trump and it's not King James. It's King Jesus. And I'll just leave it at that. He's the only one worthy is King Jesus. So let's pray and then we'll get into it. Let's get into it, the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship your holy name. You are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And none other are worthy, God. No other is worthy to open that seal, just the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We thank you for that. And today, I would pray that both the Lion and the Lamb would be present in the preaching and teaching of your Holy Scriptures. Holy Spirit, you know what each individual person needs here today. And you also know collectively for this local church, God. So I ask, reveal your truth to them, encourage, equip, convict. We thank you in advance. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, and all the SBC family together said amen and amen. Thank you. Romans 16, we're getting to the end. This is it. This week, Lord willing, next week. And we're going to be closing out Romans, started in September, ending in the end of June with some breaks in between. The Apostle Paul says this in the beginning of chapter 16, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. And again, once again, as I mentioned about fathers, this is not Paul's biological sister. He's, of course, referring sister spiritually speaking, sister in Christ, the same Heavenly Father, by faith in the work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit indwelling now Phoebe, which is a servant. Deaconos is the Greek word. Now, we could get into a sermon individually right here with this because some translations will say deaconess. The King James here says servant. They mean the same thing. And could you, as a church, have female deaconess? Well, you could make an argument for it, or a good one, with this. And there's no problem with that because although we have official deacons in the church and here at Spencerport Bible, certainly we have many deaconesses in this fellowship. There's plenty of them. You say, well, how do I know if I'm a deaconess? You're a servant. You serve. I can tell you, I'm not going to name them by names. They'll be embarrassed. But there's plenty of deaconesses here at Spencerport Bible Church, just like Phoebe was. And you know what a deaconess does to a local body? Makes it radiant. That's what Phoebe means. It makes the local church radiant when you have women of God serving the people for the glory of God. You have a radiant church because that's how God ordained it. He ordained all of us to serve. Remember the Son of Man? He didn't come to be served, but to serve. He left an example for us. And so what you see in churches that are radiant is you see people. You see deacons and deaconesses. You see people. You see a bunch of Phoebes. I'll take a church of Phoebes any day because I know that that church will be healthy. God will build it because that's who God is. He's a servant king. He left the example for us. Washing feet, said, you will understand. You don't now, but you will. And Phoebe was certainly one of those servants of the church in Chenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. Now, it says, for she has been a succorer of many. Now, that's King James language, but what that means is helper of many. And myself also, it's possible that Phoebe may have delivered this letter to Rome, and if she did, she hazarded her life. And she had to be fully trusted. So keep that in mind. She was called a helper, servant, commended by Paul. Quite a commendation. Verse 3, notice a couple more names. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now you've probably, if you're read the Bible regularly or student of the Word, you've probably heard of Aquila and Priscilla. They're a married couple, and they were significant figures in the early church, primarily known for their work alongside the Apostle Paul and their role. They were tent makers, so was Paul, who shared the same trade, supported his ministry financially, while also working to spread the gospel. Aquila and Priscilla were instrumental in Paul's ministry, especially in cities like Corinth and Ephesus. They opened their homes to house churches, providing a space for believers to gather and learn. And so as I read this week, I want to just encourage you to consider opening your home, like Priscilla and Aquila did back then. That hasn't changed. You know, the early church and the church now really should meet consistently in two places, the temple and the church, they would call it back in the book of Acts, or here in the church building and the house. That's where you should meet. If it's just Sunday morning, that's not really the church. If you just meet on Sunday morning, this is an appetizer. This will give you a little bit, but the rest of the week, hopefully, you'll at least consider sometime or another opening up your home like Priscilla and Aquila did. Hospitality. Hospitality. You don't have to have a great big home. Did you know that? Some of you have been to my home. Now, it's not a great big home by any stretch. There's lots of cars in there. In fact, we don't have a big enough driveway. We park on our grass, so we don't have a very nice front lawn, but that's okay. If people want to come over, I'll sacrifice my grass for people to come over. You know, when you go to these other countries, if you've been to these other countries, and I'm sure I could speak for Jack, and I could speak from my experience both in India and in Uganda and Kenya, when you go into homes there, doesn't matter that they're made out of bricks or mud or sticks. They are so happy, the biggest smiles in the world, to just have you come into their house, sit down, and give you a cup of tea and a big smile and say, will you bless our house? Will you pray for our house? And yet we here in America, somehow we have to schedule everything. All right, well, you got to call me before you come over. I got to make sure this is clean. I got to make sure that. Got to make sure we pick up the house. Why? Why? Do you know what matters to people? God. Do you know what matters? People. That's what matters in God's economy. That's what we should value. God and people. That's it. It's really that simple. And to open up your home is a wonderful thing. That's God's will. That's God's word. For you to just open up your home. It doesn't have to be great. You don't have to cook a 10-course meal. Just a cup of coffee. A cup of tea. Say, I don't drink coffee. Tea. Say, I don't consume caffeine. Water. Put a lemon in it. Put fruit. Doesn't matter. Just sit down. I got to tell you, I've been visiting some people's homes here. I love it. I was just telling someone today, I could have stayed all day at both homes I was in. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. I was there a couple of, I could have stayed all day. Why? Same father. Same father. Conversation starts and doesn't stop. You have a lot to talk about. If you have God, if you have the Holy Spirit, you will have no lack of conversation. No lack of conversation with that brother, sister in Christ. And this is what Priscilla and Aquila did. They opened up their home. Remember, they discipled Apollos, showed him to how to really refine his doctrine, his theology. Tent makers, of course. Same trade. That in itself opens up a lot of conversation. It says they risked their lives for the gospel. Now, let's just pause for one more minute on this topic of house church. Why was it needed back then? Because, you know, the house church right now, it's been, since I've been a Christian, it's like a very taboo thing. It's like, oh, they're meeting in a house on Sundays. Okay, big deal. That's what people did. They met. Now, why did they do it back then? They needed to. There was persecution that was going on. Discipleship takes place, though, in the house church. It's not antichrist, it's biblical. The man or couple of God should be ordained of God, recognized by those in authority. They should have proper motives to do it. But let's not be so, use that term again, myopic. My experience of house church is a very good one. About 5 or 6 months during COVID, it was intimate, discipleship-oriented, it was beneficial. Rid yourself of the myopic American mentality. House church, they're a rebel. They're not attending. They don't. That's American mentality. There's no such thing as an American gospel. Although we'll be showing a film here called American Gospel coming up in the summer. Why? Because it helps straighten out some of the misconceptions and false doctrines out there. There's no such thing as an American gospel. There's simply the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if it's in the Word of God, then you and I should be for it and not against it. I'm not telling you, by the way, to start a house church. I hope you're understanding my heart. I hope you're understanding the scripture here. I'm telling you, open up your home. And if you open up your home, maybe you open up the scriptures. And if you don't open up the scriptures, maybe open up your hearts and you pray together. And maybe you sing together. Maybe you talk about the things of God together. I'm telling you, you'll be built up. You'll be refreshed. Remember Paul? Last week he said, I want to be refreshed. I hope to come to refresh you with joy. That's what we should be doing with one another, for one another, refreshing one another with joy. Now, we're only a few names in. He says they laid their life down. That's Priscilla and Aquila, verse 4. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also for all the churches of the Gentiles. The big picture. Paul was a kingdom man. He wasn't just about the church of Rome. Why? Same father. Sister Phoebe. Priscilla and Aquila, brother and sister in Christ. Likewise, verse 5, greet the church that is in their house. We talked about that. Salute or greet my well-beloved Epaphroditus, and I'm probably going to butcher these names, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. The first fruits of that region. Think about that. It's very important. The first seed always starts with one seed. Remember the woman at the well in Samaria? God, Jesus is sitting there, and that's how most evangelism takes place. It's personal, one-on-one, by the way. And she's coming to get water, and Jesus takes the time for her when everybody else treat her as an outcast. She was married 5 times, and she's a Samaritan woman, and she's astounded that Jesus is talking to her. But once she gets it, once that revelation of who Jesus is, that he's the Messiah, once she gets it, she drops her water pot, runs back into Samaria, and starts evangelizing, telling everyone. That's how it starts, just with one person, just one seed, and that's who this man was. He was the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. And then verse 6 says, greet Mary. Now, there's lots of Marys in the Bible, you know that. Mary Magdalene, there's Mary the mother of Jesus. I believe there's 3 Marys listed at the cross and the end of the Gospels. There's Marys everywhere. But listen, for this specific Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. There we go again, the theme of helper, labor. She was a worker bee. Salute or greet Adronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now, I want to pause there because I want to address things that I've come across within the body of Christ. Some people have made this argument, Junia, number one, she's a female. Number two, it says she's an apostle. Now, that's not what I read, but I'm not going to argue with you about it. That's not what I read. You want to look at other verses? You could do some research on your own. But you shouldn't be divided over Junia. And people divide over these type of things. And think about if you're God the Father on Father's Day, looking down on his church that he purchased with his blood, and people are divided over Junia. Just think about that for a minute. The most ridiculous things people are divided over within the body of Christ. It's not about Junia, it's about Jesus. Do you understand this? I pray you do. I pray you can agree to disagree about Junia. Says she's of note amongst the apostles. There's some versions say she's a man, some say she's a woman. Whatever she is. God knows who she is. She's not here anymore, but you are. We're to be apostles. We're to be messengers of God now. We're to be messengers of the gospel. I didn't think Junia was going to get that much attention today, but greet Amplius, verse 8, my beloved in the Lord. Salute or greet Urbine, our helper. There it is again, helper. In Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Epaulus, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus. Oh, that one was, I know I said that wrong. Forgive me. But salute him. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus. Not a narcissist, by the way. Although I've never met someone with this name, Narcissus, which are in the Lord. We're on name 14 or 15. Salute Tryphena, Tryphosa, who labor, there it is again, labor, help in the Lord. Salute the beloved Perses, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother of mine. Now, Rufus could have been the son of Simon the Cyrene who helped Jesus carry his cross. This is in Mark chapter 15 or 21 or 22, but we're not 100% sure. Could be. Salute Isyntrachus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philogius and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. The one that's not named is the sister. But you see this theme. Why is Paul continuing to name these names? Because these people are important to Paul. When somebody's important, you call them by name. And they're important to God, who ultimately is the author of the letter, the Holy Spirit. They're important. People are important. That's what really matters at the end of the day. Nothing else is really going to stand. Nothing else is really going to stand. And you can hear, you can read the heart of this apostle in the writing of this letter. Verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches. Notice I said, the churches of Christ salute you. Again, there's a theme here as we're coming close to the end of this letter. Of the universal church, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is new to them. But also Paul acknowledges the local churches. He helped birth some of the local churches. In Corinth, he said, you have many instructors in Christ, but not many fathers. Meaning, hey, I was the one God used to birth this church, and you're accusing me of not even being an apostle. Yeah, you have lots of instructors, but God ordained me to be your spiritual father. He had a heart for the church at Corinth. He had a heart for the church at Ephesus, the church at Galatia. Half the New Testament, he loved the church. And again, as I said last week, they were different, I promise you. They were different. You don't think the church in Rome, come on, they had red wine, pasta, chicken parm, all this stuff. And then you had the Greeks, right, feta cheese. All, they were different cuisine, different everything. But they have the same Holy Spirit. They have the same Father. You can fly across the world, meet someone, doesn't even speak your language, and there's this unity of the Spirit. There's this love of God. And you don't even have to go across the world. You can meet someone at Wegmans. You can meet someone wherever you go. God will just connect you. You say, how? You'll start talking about your father. You start talking about the one that Dom mentioned, which is so good, that any human father pales in comparison to the goodness of God. He said, if you, being evil, if know how to give good gifts, how much more shall your father give the Holy Spirit? How much more shall your father give? Think about that. What a comparison. It's not even close. We have to understand the goodness of God. Paul did. The Apostle Paul did. Even while he was in prisons, the Apostle Paul understood the goodness of God. While he was shipwrecked, the Apostle Paul understood the goodness of God. Whatever it is, illness, poverty, the Apostle Paul understood who his father was, what he was saved from the wrath of God. On a road to destruction, remember, I said it many times, thought he was so right. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Zealous for the law, going 110 miles an hour and then halted. Screeching stop, road to Damascus, revelation of Christ, revelation of the gospel in Arabia, explained to him. And now he's a new man. He says, hey, wow, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the least amongst the saints because God is so good. This is the gospel of grace. This is the gospel of grace. Let me just share a few things with you. If physical persecution ever comes to America, I promise you the denominational walls will crumble quickly. Assemblies of God will be an assembly of those who know God. There'll be no imitators. Calvary Chapel will be looking only to Calvary, not their chapel. The First Baptist Church of whatever will not be so concerned if they're singing hymns or contemporary Christian songs. The hotter the atmosphere spiritually, the more the dross melts away. Persecution, trials, purify and unite those who truly have their eyes, hearts, and lives devoted to Jesus Christ. That's how you'll know if they're a Christ follower, by their love for one another, by their love for God. That's how you'll know the difference between a good tree and a bad tree. Fruit of the Spirit. And do you know love for bears? Do you know how many times, I was out last time on our way, do you know how many times I hear things that people say that I don't agree with, that are my brother and sister in Christ? And I want to encourage you to use wisdom and discretion when to address it, if you are to address it. We have to use wisdom. Do you know why? Because, again, let me use this horizontal illustration. Who enjoys strife and contention in their family? I don't. If you do, I don't understand it. No, we want peace. We want love. We want you. Now, not at the cost of truth, by the way. Not at the cost of truth. I've told you, and I'm not going to go through my list of non-negotiables, but there are some non-negotiables. You come up to me like a girl last night and tell me that Jesus was just a great teacher, but you don't agree with half his word. I say, well, I don't agree with that. I'm not going to agree with you on that. You come up to me and you tell me Jesus only, there's no Father and the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, that's a different Jesus. You come up to me and Jesus, you're going to tell me Jesus wants to save you to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. And there's more, but I don't have time to go through all of them. But outside of those things, there's a multitude of differences. And what would Satan desire more than divide you? A house divided cannot stand. And did you know when churches divide locally, that's what happens. A different doctrine comes in. A wolf comes in, undetected, and divides the body of Christ. That's not God's heart. That's not God's will, and that's not God's word. Next week, the Apostle Paul says this, mark those who cause division amongst you, contrary to the doctrine that I am teaching. What's the doctrine? The gospel of grace. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away from it. There's only one name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. That's the gospel of grace. There is no other name that saves. Don't tell me there is, because there isn't. There's only one. It's done. It's the gospel of grace. It's the only gospel of grace. Paul was given godly people, precious saints with the same purpose and vision. The gospel, the church, the work of the ministry, the making of disciples in all nations. Did you know that Phoebe, Andronicus, Amplius, they'd be terrible apostles? Did you know that? God didn't make them to be an apostle. They'd be out of position. God never called them nor equipped them, but as helpers, as workers, deacons, deaconess, look what they accomplished. This was the beginning work. And it's God's work, God's way. You know, Paul, I promise you this, he'd be a terrible deacon. He'd be a terrible deacon. That's not who God made him to be. And you can't be jealous or envious of who other people are in Christ. You should rejoice in it. And you shouldn't attend a church where your gifts are tolerated, but rather celebrated. Why? God gave them to you for the glory of God and the benefit of his bride. I love to watch people like the ones mentioned today in their quiet, unnoticed, but oh-so-vital roles or positions. Paul could not fulfill his calling work without his team, his family, God's chosen people. Think about Nehemiah. You remember the account Nehemiah went through it a year or two ago? Could not build the walls in Jerusalem. There were priests, Levites, nobles, servants, district leaders, gatekeepers, perfumers, and goldsmiths, leaders appointed by God, empower and equip people for the work of the ministry. That's what true godly shepherds and leaders do. They don't have a tight grip. They don't have control. They say, we're going to equip you. And if God blows on you and says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, they bless you. See, first your birth. Your birth in the family of God. You're born into it. Then you're built. God builds you. Builds your inner man, your calling. He refines it, molds and shapes it. Then you bless them. Birth, build, bless. There's one more step. Then you send them. So where do you send them to, Burundi? Where do you send them to, Uganda? Where do you send them to, Panama? Where do you send them to, Spencerport? Where do you send them to, Pittsford? You send them to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, simultaneously. That's what you do. That's the will of God. That's the word of God. That's God's word. That's God's work, the way he does it. You don't have a tight grip. See, if you try to hold on to people God is sending, I know Tom's talking about being led of the Spirit of God, and I'm glad for that. You will quench the Spirit of God. Those people will be frustrated. They will not be operating in grace any longer. You need to know. You say, how do I know when it's time to go? When you don't have grace on you anymore. When you're frustrated. When you don't enjoy coming here anymore. When God's Spirit is not here, you don't sense God's Spirit. Yeah, you have God's Spirit, but you don't sense it anymore. I've been through it. I remember sitting down with my family and my former fellowship of 20 years. I had resigned, and I started Rescue and Revive Ministries. I didn't have to resign. I just felt it was the right thing to do, starting Rescue and Revive. And we continued there 2 years. And I remember my wife said, why do you look so miserable? I said, Les, I'm not going to act. And finally, I had to sit them down and say, look, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. Let's go. We went on a journey in the wilderness. And guess where we landed? Spencerport Bible Church. God will guide you with his eye. God, Psalm 32:8, will guide you with his eye. All you have to do is have his vision on where you're supposed to go. Now you say, it sounds like, Pastor Dom, you're trying to get people out of this church. No, I'm not. I love watching people come in. But you know what I'm going to love? I'm going to also love sending them out for the glory of God. They're not my people. You belong to the chief shepherd. The bishop of your soul is Jesus Christ. Everyone else is just an under-shepherd. These people matter to God. They matter to Paul. And think about it, there was no social media posts. I mean, they weren't on Instagram or Facebook, right? Phoebe, serving tables. Stop her, right, as she's feeding someone. None of that was back then. Some of that stuff makes me sick, to be honest with you. I mean, I do it on a kid, but I don't. Just sometimes I'm like, we got to stop all this stuff, right? Everybody takes their phone out while you're worshiping the Lord. Who are you worshiping, by the way? when you're doing this. Everybody's taking their phone out. They're videotaping all the ministry. It's like, he who speaks of himself seeks his own glory, Jesus said. Something to think about. Something to just think about. I know we live in 2025. I understand that. But no names in light, no superstar status, but valued by God and the Apostle Paul. They were from different local churches, like I already talked about, but yet there's one church. There's one church. Well, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and this will be part of my closing. So if they could come back up, I'll get into the last few minutes. And I encourage you today, because I really believe this is the heart of the Apostle Paul in this letter to the church at Rome. I've had the privilege of being able to study it and read it and teach it for the last 9 months. See, tribal mentality in the church develops isolation and alienation. Denominational divides prevent people from getting to learn from one another. They can't help one another grow. Iron sharpens iron. You only want to be amongst those that are like you? Why? Don't you want to learn from others that aren't like you? I do. See, I said this, but it's been a long time, and maybe some of you are new since I've said it. The acronym we use is SBC for this church. Well, doesn't stand for Spencerport Bible Club. Doesn't stand for that. Stands for Spencerport Bible Church. What is the church? The ecclesia, the called out ones. That's what Spencerport Bible Church is made up of. The called out ones. From what? Called out from the world. Saved and sealed by the blood of the Lamb. Ready to go. Ready to be helpers. Ready to be beloved. Ready to be chosen. Ready to lay their life down for the glory of God. Just like the people that were named. It's the church in Spencerport. You welcome those in Christ that are saved, born again, filled with God's Spirit, God's love. I'll end with a Father's Day story, or a father's story. It came to me out of nowhere, so I'm going to just trust it's God. Our first family vacation. Emotional time for me as a dad, sorry. It's 2014. We're going on to Virginia Beach. I remember I stopped once. I was so angry, man. I had five kids, 9 and under. Imagine getting frustrated, right? But I remember they had not been to Chick-fil-A. And we all love Chick-fil-A, don't we? And they were giving me such a hard time. I don't want to go. I said, you've never been to Chick-fil-A. How are you judging something you've never been to? And we went to Chick-fil-A. And guess what? They loved it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His people, His precious people, His bride, not just here at Spencerport, not just in whatever denomination. The universal bride, He calls it a bride for a reason. He's married to it. And they come in different shapes and sizes and languages and tribes and denominations. It's not just you and I here. It's all over the world. And that's my heart for you. That is my heart for you. To taste and see that the Lord is good through His people. Yeah, I know sometimes the Pentecostals are crazy. I admit that. But guess what? Sometimes the Baptists are really stiff. They can't move. And sometimes, you know, why are they baptizing infants? Some of these, you know, all these stuff, listen, they're God's people. You have the same Father. So live for the glory of God. Be united in Christ. In the end, that's all that'll matter. I'll say it again. The glory of God. The glory of God. Short time here. Not too long. 70, 80 years. Teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, the psalmist said. So true. Redeem the time. Don't waste it. I love, love, love. One of my favorite verses, he doesn't know what the gym read. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Steadfast. Be steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work, your labor is not in vain. I'm going to ask fathers to stand, please, as we close. I'm going to ask the fathers to stand if you're able to. Please stand. I just want to pray over you because I understand the importance. I'm in your boat. You know, you don't resign being a father. You can't stop, can't check out. Tim's standing up. Tim, you're in for, we'll call it a great awakening. Tim's going to have revival in his life pretty soon. Double portion of it. Twins. Father, I thank you for these fathers. Lord, I just pray that you give them the grace they need to be the men of God, to lead their families in spirit and in truth, God. I'm just going to commission them today to be fathers for the glory of God. Those of us, including myself, who have failed to repent, to ask for forgiveness, to always get back up, because a righteous man falls 7 times, but Jesus, you're always there, extending a hand. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing. I'm going to ask the whole congregation to stand up for the final, please, if you would. Because you see what God's doing here. You see what God's doing. He's bringing people in. But you know, I know my God, he says, give and it shall be given unto you. That's not just money. When God brings in, he wants you to send out. That's what he wants you to do. So I just want to pray congregationally as God keeps bringing people in. For those of you, if you know you're supposed to be sent out, we've already talked about it, the leadership. We'll bless you if we agree with it and we see it. Father, we thank you for this congregation. Lord, I just pray that you continue to build for your glory. Just the way the walls are rebuilt when they were broken down in Jerusalem. Just like the Apostle Paul is commending all these people that were part of his team. Father, that you continue to build this local body here for your glory. And when it's time, if someone knows when it's time, that we would send them with the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God behind them. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's family said amen. Thank you.